It's pure and natural and squeezed fresh. And so we buy the orange juice and drink it to break our fast and start our day. Still, we wonder, what do they mean by squeezed fresh?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 656th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Sasebo who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Drinking What, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Howdy.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones.
Hello, everyone.
Folks, it's pure, it is natural, and it is squeezed fresh. And so we buy the orange juice and drink it to start our day and break our fast. Still, we wonder, how did orange juice become a staple of our breakfast? How is it possible to get juice out of an orange from a tree in Brazil and into a glass on a table in Anchorage? And how do they get away with selling year-old juices squeezed fresh? And who better to ask than Alyssa Hamilton? I found Alyssa hanging around in the pages of my favorite magazine, Acres USA. Great interview with the folks there. So I thought, what a fun subject to talk about. So welcome to the Food Chain, Alyssa.
Hi, thanks.
Good to have you aboard. Let's see, you're a PhD, you're a scholar, right?
I suppose I never consider myself, I wouldn't call myself that, but I suppose, yes.
What is your PhD in?
Environmental studies.
Okay, good. And then you're also an attorney, right?
That too. Something else I don't call myself.
So you're a scholar and then a lawyer, and what do you do in your spare time?
Read about orange juice, I suppose.
Look into orange juice. Okay, you're up there in Toronto, Canada, right?
I am.
So, and I got to thinking about this, you know, there's something really bizarre when it gets right down to it. I'm from Montana, and, you know, to be in a cold Montana winter or a Canadian winter and wake up and go into the kitchen and pour yourself a glass of squeezed fresh orange juice. It's just something there. That's just become magic, I guess, and it's become part of our daily bread, so to speak. So, quite a story. What led you to look into orange juice as a subject of study, Alyssa?
Well, I'm interested generally in the effects that the processed food industry is having on the growing of major food crops in the U.S. and it struck me that orange juice would be a perfect product to look at because mm-hmm. so many of us do drink it, and what is orange juice but processed oranges?
Exactly. And so it's kind of, orange juice is kind of emblematic, if you will, of our industrialized food chain.
Very much so, yes. That's a hard message that I've been trying to get across, that this is not just about orange juice. It's about many of the products that we commonly buy and mm-hmm. take for granted.
Well, let's go back a little bit in history, and how did orange juice become a staple of our breakfast, of our food chain?
That goes back to, this really all started in Florida, and it goes back to the 1900s, early 1900s, Florida was struggling with a surplus of oranges. So mm-hmm. the growers gathered into what became the Florida Citrus Exchange to try and figure out how to get North Americans to consume more oranges. And they were faced with two choices. Should we try and increase consumption or decrease production? And they went for the former route, increased consumption, and came up with this campaign. They started to send juicers or juice extractors to homes across America and, in fact, even the world to try to get consumers to drink their oranges. Because, of course, if you drink a glass of orange juice, you're consuming more oranges than if you eat one whole.
Right.
So that was the beginning. And then the war came, the Second World War, and the Army wanted a product to send soldiers overseas that could deliver their vitamin C content. The Army really resisted giving their soldiers nutrients through pills. So they wanted a food source that could provide the soldiers their vitamin C.
Why was that? Why not feed the soldiers a pill? It would be
That's a good question. I've read many documents about their resistance, and I'm not exactly sure why, except I do know they were having real problems getting their soldiers to eat their rations. And so I think that they wanted to provide the soldiers a good-tasting meal that would provide them their nutrients. I suppose if they were given packets of pills, they might just throw them out, as they were doing with the rations that didn't taste good.
Sure. So if one of the things you wrote about is that given a choice between eating something they did not like and not eating it, they would take the not eating it path, right?
Exactly. The Americans had a reputation for going that route. And there was all kinds of psychological studies about why that might be, but mm-hmm. but leave it to say, yes, that's what was happening.
So really, as did many things, it started really blossoming, the industry in World War II. With respect to nutrients, we're all told, of course, that you get your vitamin C out of orange juice. But how much orange juice or vitamin C do you get out of orange juice? Can you get more vitamin C out of an orange?
Yes, you get more vitamin C from eating a whole orange than you do a glass of orange juice.
Even though the glass of orange juice will have consumed more oranges.
Exactly. And this is also, a point that we consider orange juice, an essential part of a balanced breakfast, and that it's high in vitamin C. And yes, it's true, it's a good source of vitamin C for soldiers fighting overseas without access to fresh fruits and vegetables. But most of us can go to the store and have a wide selection of fresh fruits and vegetables that have more vitamin C than a glass of juice.
Okay, and then, of course, after World War II, we got down to the real job of selling people on consuming more orange juice, and who sang about it?
Yes, Bing Crosby. And what happened is, in the late 40s, a team of three scientists who were working to develop a product for the war invented frozen concentrated orange juice. And unfortunately, their invention was too late for the war, but it was in time. And this is also the case with so many of the products on the market, including the pesticides that we now use, came from war technology. So the orange juice became, they marketed it as a product for civilians to consume. And Bing Crosby, through a chain of events, the U.S. took a patent out on frozen concentrated orange juice, which one company started to produce, and that company eventually, as I mentioned, through a chain of events, became Minute Maid. Minute Maid hired Bing Crosby, and they had a deal where Bing Crosby would croon about orange juice in exchange for stock options in the company.
Really?
It was a good deal for both of them.
Oh, my goodness. Sure. So Bing Crosby really popularized the notion of orange juice, and in exchange got a piece of the action for Minute Maid.
Exactly. And he's saying about the juice tasting almost like fresh. So right from the start, there was that was the selling point.
A connection with fresh.
Juice. Exactly. And if you think about it, it's interesting because there aren't too many products on the market where fresh, really processed products I'm talking about, where fresh is the selling point. For instance, tomato sauce or tomato juice, we don't want that to taste fresh. We like the processed flavor. So orange juice is one of the first that really was being sold on freshness.
Good. And down the line, we'll really dig into that one, the various ways they claim freshness for something that is not fresh at all.
Right.
And good. Okay, folks, you're tuned into the...
Increasingly not fresh.
Okay, you're tuned into the Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host for the day. Today we're talking orange juice squeezed fresh with Alyssa Hamilton, author, scholar, attorney, her book, Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. And, of course, we don't know much about orange juice when it gets right down to it. But today, we're going to learn a lot. And we're going to look at it because orange juice is emblematic or a good representative of a lot of processed commodities that have entered our food chain and have become staples of our eating. And oranges would be one of them. We're talking about how oranges today come from all the way from Brazil. How do they get juice out of an orange from a tree in Brazil into a glass on a table in Anchorage, Alaska? What do you want to know about orange juice? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
How sweet it is. Juice that is, orange juice. But hey, how do they get away with this squeezed fresh or freshly squeezed or all of those fresh things that you see on the cartons of orange juice that come all the way from Brazil and are probably more than a year old? That's the question we're laying on the table today with Alyssa Hamilton, who is the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. So I have a great question for Alyssa because she's an attorney. We'll see how she answers this one. Alyssa, which is sweetest, a navel or a Valencia?
Oh, no questions there. Valencia.
So Valencias are grown for juicing and navels are growing for eating, right?
That's correct.
And California grows the navels and Florida grows the Valencias.
Mostly, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, I mean, navels are really sold as the fresh eating orange and Valencias as a juicing orange because they have thinner skin and much higher juice content. So the navels are much more convenient. They separate nicely into segments and the peel is thick so you don't get juice all over your hands. Many in Florida will say that something to the effect that if you put a Californian orange under a truck, you won't get any juice out of it. They have some saying, I can't remember exactly, but they have a little bit of a war going on.
A little
on
war it. Going on there for a little positioning, yeah. So the juice is in the Valencias, and the segments are and the ease of eating are in the navels. Okay, fair enough. What happened to the Florida orange juice industry, the tree fruit industry?
What happened to the Florida orange
juice? Yeah, why it seems like much of what you're saying here is that the orange juice industry is leaving Florida.
Oh, that's right. Well, Florida has suffered, throughout its history, not only the 1900s, freezes. And the problem became in the 60s, after the 60s, when we really started to expect orange juice on our tables every day of the year. It was difficult when these freezes would hit Florida to have a consistent supply. So Florida went to Brazil to set up processing infrastructure so that they could rely on Brazilian oranges, mm-hmm. you know, if they got hit. And through the 80s, there were a series of pretty bad freezes. Well, what happened, it was so much cheaper to grow oranges in Brazil. Land is cheaper, labor is cheaper, fewer environmental regulations.
If any at all,
now,
right?
Now Brazil produces so many more oranges than Florida. They surpassed Florida. Florida used to grow the most oranges, and now Brazil is by far number one. And so we're getting much of our orange juice from Brazil, especially Europe, in fact. A lot of the juice that is produced from Brazilian oranges is going to Europe, but also to North America.
So the big question then is, how is it possible to get juice out of an orange from a tree in Brazil and into a glass on a table in Anchorage?
Another good question. It's amazing how much shipping technology has played into this. The shipping technology has really advanced to the point where it used to be that we would only get not from concentrate orange juice from Brazil. So if you think about it, it's not from concentrate. From concentrate.
From
concentrated
orange
juice. If you think about it, that's much easier to ship. It can be shipped in space-saving concentrate.
Yeah, just a sec. With respect to concentration, how do you concentrate orange juice?
You boil the juice down so that you boil the water off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you boil it down and then
so you cook it.
Essentially.
Uh-huh. You cook it and freeze it.
Exactly.
Okay. And that would seem to be the way to do juice from... To get juice from Brazil to Anchorage, Alaska, would be to reduce it in size and volume. But now we're not doing that. Why not?
Well, we're doing that, but we're also now shipping technology has advanced to the point where we are now shipping full-strength juice. So now we're talking pasteurized juice, which I suppose, some might call it cooking, but pasteurization, the juice is heated.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, again, pasteurization technology has really advanced so that they're doing what's called flash pasteurization, so they don't have to heat it to as high a temperature. Certainly, you're not boiling it down as you are in concentrate.
Well, were they
so
not?
Now,
were
the
they
juice,
not, Alyssa? Were they not pasteurizing frozen concentrate?
They don't have to because they boil it down. It's a complicated question because now we get from concentrate, which is reconstituted for us in the cartons.
Right.
And now before putting the juice after they reconstitute it, sometimes it's necessary to pasteurize the juice before packaging it.
Wow.
But yes, before when we were drinking it in the cans, you're getting concentrate, not mm-hmm. pasteurized juice.
So what happens now is that instead of concentrating it, they pasteurize it and put it in a big tank. And what do? Have a super tankers for orange juice?
Exactly. They pasteurize the juice. They strip it of oxygen so the juice doesn't go bad in the tank.
How do they do that? How do you get oxygen?
It's a process called deaeration. And mm-hmm. the tanks that the juice is put in, they're called aseptic storage tanks. The technology that was developed for, I think it was tomato juice first, and the orange juice industry took over the technology for juice as well. So the juice is stripped of oxygen, put in these huge tanks, and then shipped to North America.
Wow. And a ship, like they do oil, I guess, right?
That's right. And that's where the technology must have developed for,
mm-hmm.
For shipping oil. And the problem is the juice is pasteurized more than once. Of course, it's not. It's not fresh. It's coming quite a far distance.
It's not fresh. Not only that, but they store it for up to a year, right, in these giant tanks?
Well, they can store it for a long time in these tanks because, as I mentioned, they take the oxygen out so that the juice doesn't go bad in the tanks. Of course, that leads to a whole other set of
sure.
issues. When you strip the juice of oxygen, you also strip it of flavor-providing chemicals that are natural to the juice. These chemicals escape with when they strip the oxygen. The chemicals are volatile, so they evaporate from the juice, and so you're left with basically what tastes like sugar water. So the juice companies then hire flavor and fragrance companies.
Well, yeah, just a sec before we pursue that, I'd like to kind of wrap it up. We're going to have to take a quick break. So essentially what happened is that we moved the orange juice or orange growing industry from Florida to Brazil because it's cheaper, less hassle, easier. And now we used to process this juice into concentrate and bring it to the United States, but now what we're doing a lot of is fresh. And to bring fresh whole juice, we have to first pasteurize it and then remove the oxygen from it and store it in these giant tanks. And then when the giant ship pulls up to the dock, they pour it into the ship and bring it to the United States for the processing, I guess. So in all of this processing, what you do is you lose something. You lose the flavor-producing compounds, and the resulting product tastes like sugar water and not like orange juice. So what do you do then? How do you put the orange juice back in the orange juice? That's the question we'll pursue when we get back. We're talking with Alyssa Hamilton, who is a scholar and an attorney and the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. And we're talking about it, of course, because it is emblematic of our industrialized food chain, where we pick an orange in Brazil and put it in and squeeze the juice out of it and then put it into a glass on a table in Anchorage, Alaska. Everything you wanted to know about oranges, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Alyssa. Do stay tuned. Well, you know, we pour the juice from the container and close our eyes, and we see beautiful sun-dappled orchards of orange trees in Florida and think, nice and wholesome. But that's really not much of the story anymore. Most of the story, or most of the juice, is now coming from Brazil, a long, long way. So how do we get juice out of an orange from a tree in Brazil and into a glass on a table in Anchorage? That's the question we're pursuing with Alyssa Hamilton, who's the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. So, Alyssa, we have a big, huge, giant tank farms with aseptically stored orange juice. The super tanker, orange juice super tanker, pulls up to the dock and loads this stuff into the hold, and then they ship it up to the United States. But the juice no longer tastes like orange juice, does it?
No, and I just one point of clarification: that not from concentrate orange juice. We're still getting most of that juice from Florida. The big change, though, is that we are increasingly getting juice not from concentrate from Brazil. Whereas in the past, we could pretty much count on not from concentrate being a Florida product. As I mentioned, it's still most of our not from concentrate is from Florida.
Okay.
But the amazing development, you know, that it looks like the direction is changing.
It's amazing to even think that possible, but I guess it is. So how do we get the orange juice flavor back into the orange juice that no longer has the orange juice flavor because it's been stored aseptically in giant tanks and it just no longer has any taste? So how do we get the orange flavor, back in the orange juice?
This is where the infamous flavor packs come in. And these flavor packs are developed by, I started to talk about how the juice companies now hire flavor and fragrance companies. So the same ones that make high-end perfumes and colognes to engineer flavor packs to add back to the juice to make it taste fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And these flavor packs are made, and this is why we don't see this on the label, they're made from orange essence and oils. So the fragrance and flavor companies buy essence and oils from actually, Brazil is one of their biggest suppliers because the essence and oils are cheapest there, and Brazil does grow the most juice oranges in the world.
So what Brazil does then is they take the oranges that they've juiced and then put the oranges in some kind of vat and put some spices and herbs, and they stir it all up, and out comes the essence of orange, right?
Well, it's actually an interesting relationship that the flavor and fragrance companies have with the juice manufacturers, because the material that the flavor and fragrance companies use is a byproduct of the juicing process.
Uh-huh.
So the juicers collect these essence and oils that are lost during the concentration process, so that it's mostly during concentration that they're getting these byproducts, and then they're selling that back to the juice companies sell this byproduct back to the flavor and fragrance houses, which then transform these essence and oils into these very, very sophisticated flavor packs, and then they sell them back to the juice companies. So it's a circular relationship.
Wow.
And the flavor packs, as I mentioned, very sophisticated. What they do now is they break the essence and oils down into the constituent chemicals. So they can isolate, for instance, a chemical, ethyl butyrate, which the companies have discovered North Americans associate most with the taste of freshly squeezed orange juice. So you'll find in juice being sold in North American markets, this one chemical, ethyl butyrate, is emphasized, whereas, for instance, juice sold to another market, say Brazil, they might have a different palette and they might emphasize a different chemical.
Wow. So they can actually custom design tastes for regions of the world.
Even, I spoke to a flavor engineer, and he talked about having requests for some juice companies will request that their flavor pack taste like another company's flavor pack. So you have this hall of mirrors of flavor packs. And it's an amazing and kind of crazy world.
So to really understand the whole hall of mirrors, you have to understand the ownership and the consolidation of the orange juice industry too, right? Is it true that Coca-Cola and Pepsi are the big players in orange juice?
Yes. Coca-Cola owns Simply Orange, is there not from concentrate. And Minute Maid is their from concentrate brand. Pepsi, Tropicana is their not from concentrate, and Dole is their from concentrate.
Wow. So what share of the orange juice industry do those two companies have here in the United States, you think?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have the statistics on that, but certainly they are the front runners. It's the juice equivalent of the Cola Wars. We're talking about, definitely.
So it really is like the Cola Wars, isn't it?
Yes.
So you have these giants, and so when once they start with the juice that comes out of these giant aseptic containers, these million-gallon drums, all of the juice really tastes the same, which is to say, like nothing except sugar water.
Right.
And then what each company does is it hires a company to formulate its own taste.
That's right. It differentiates their product. So Minute Maid, for instance, has a reputation for having a candy-like orange flavor. They each have their own stamp.
Huh. And is that a natural taste, or?
Well, it's coming from these flavor packs, and the whole question is why aren't these flavors, the flavor pack labeled as an ingredient, and that, because clearly this is, you know, something that is distinguishing and giving the product, you know, its mark.
Well, why aren't they labeled?
Well, the companies say we don't have to label it because it's a natural constituent. It's made from the orange essence and oils. But the problem is, and it's very complicated. It goes back to 1960s hearings into developing standards of identity for orange juice. Really the first time that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, began to regulate orange juice on an extensive scale. Until that time, there wasn't really any regulation, and the FDA at that time was concerned with, one, juice makers adulterating their juice with sugar, and two, with juice makers advertising their processed products as fresh. So going back to these hearings, there was this debate about, at that time, the juice manufacturers were starting to experiment with adding back essence and oil. And the FDA was really concerned even way back then, and even at that time when what the juice manufacturers were adding back was just in its crude form, the essence and oils. They didn't have the sophisticated technology.
Sure, and listen, we're going to have to take a quick break. But let me guess who won that battle.
That's right. You guessed right, I'm sure.
Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We'll be right back with Alyssa Hamilton and Squeeze, What You Don't Know About Oranges. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, how do they get the fresh into the squeezed orange juice that comes all the way from Brazil? Amazing process. And so we're talking a little bit about how you get that taste back into orange juice. And with Alyssa Hamilton, who's the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. And there is a lot I didn't know about orange juice, which I'm learning today. So, Alyssa, the orange juice companies, the big players in the orange juice industry, pretty much start with the same product because after being stored in a big tank for a year, I guess it's pretty much all the same, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't really matter which company you get it from. It's just a commodity. It's been turned...
Well, and this is also an important point for consumers that... Really, you want to look for the smaller producers don't necessarily don't have even the capacity to store huge amounts of juice. And if you're not storing, the most processing is in the storage for not from concentrate.
So the longer you store not from concentrate juice, the less there is in it, right?
Well, right, the less fresh it is and the more manipulation there needs to be. And there are companies that aren't producing at that scale. When you're talking about the big players, they're having to supply. On our end, we too expect a consistent supply of orange juice every day of the year. So, this technology allows for that. But if you're willing to understand that orange juice, in fact, is a seasonal product. I mean, imagine we sure don't think of orange juice as seasonal.
So we go back to that whole notion of having oranges in the winter, orange juice in the winter, and there's just something weird about it. If you think about it, you'll wake up in a real cold winter morning, and there's a gleaming glass of orange juice. It's just so out of place.
Well, it's certainly not local, but even going beyond, if you're willing to buy non-local products, such as from, if you're in Alaska and you buy juice from Florida, Florida does grow oranges almost all months of the year. Mm-hmm. They don't grow during the summer, but the Valencia season, and because the oranges are the best from March until June, which is when the Valencia season in Florida is.
Ah.
So the storage really comes about for a number of reasons, but the companies always want to mix back some Valencia juice into their product because Valencia is really the premium juice.
That's the sweet stuff.
For instance, in the fall now, they grow what's called a Hamlin, which is kind of pale colored and just doesn't have that flavor. And you might ask, you know, why do they care about the flavor at this point? Because they're adding back the flavor.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Why do they worry about the flavor?
Also, the color is a much deeper. The Valencia orange is a much deeper color, and so you really. You're best to buy juice from March until June, when the juice companies will be using the least amount of juice from storage. The more of the juice will be coming straight from the trees. So,
and also from smaller growers or smaller processors who don't have the wherewithal to build million-gallon tanks.
Well, right. You might want to look into companies that, you know, that aren't storing their juice in these aseptic tanks. And that requires a bit of investigation on the consumer's part, because that certainly isn't labeled on the carton. But you can also, you know, look at the shelf life. If it has a 60-day shelf life, you know that that product is not all that fresh. There has to be quite a significant degree of manipulation to be able to have a juice that will last in your refrigerator for
60 days. I guess so. Let's talk about some of the things that you see on the labels. Fresh squeezed. What does that mean?
Well, hopefully you're not seeing that these days. Hopefully fresh squeezed really does mean fresh squeezed, although the companies are really, they're pretty cagey. Tropicana came out with a new carton, and on that carton, it's actually that whole story. It's kind of like the old Coke, new Coke. The consumers didn't like just the graphics of the new carton. But on the new carton, there was a statement that said, squeezed from fresh oranges. Well, that sounds like freshly squeezed, but it's not.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
You know, we would all hope that the oranges were fresh when they were squeezed. That's something that we should be able to take for granted. But the hurried consumer, you know, rushing through the store, picking up a carton of orange juice, sees fresh and assumes, oh, this is fresh squeezed, and picks it up. But it's far from it.
What about nothing added?
Well, right, nothing added. Actually, in the 90s, David Kessler confiscated thousands of gallons of Citrus Hill. It was a Procter & Gamble product. Citrus Hill juice, their orange juice is called Citrus Hill, fresh from concentrate. David Kessler said, take off the fresh. You can't say that. This is a processed product. They refused to remove fresh. They said fresh, it didn't refer to a process. It referred to a flavor. Consumers no longer think of fresh as actually a process. It's just a taste. They refused to take that off, but they did voluntarily, their product also was advertised as nothing added, and they voluntarily agreed to take that statement away, because they did. They added the flavors to the juice, the flavor pack.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to ask Alyssa how she would go about buying orange juice in a Toronto winter. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Alyssa Hamilton and you. Well, how on earth do you go about getting a good deal when buying orange juice? That's what we're going to find out from Alyssa Hamilton, who is the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. A couple of things I'd like to ask you on about the labelings. What about fresh from concentrate? What the heck does that mean? Oops.
Nothing.
It means nothing,
right? It doesn't
make
sense. It's an oxymoron. I mean, you can't have fresh juice that's from concentrate.
Okay, good. And what about not from concentrate? What are they trying to tell us there?
Well, they're trying to tell you that it's a better, higher quality product than from concentrate. But as we've discussed, it too is heavily processed. And you pay a premium for not from concentrate, but you might want to question, if you like the flavor, if you like the juice taste, that's one thing. But if you think you're getting a less processed, higher quality, more nutritious drink, think twice.
So, okay, how on earth do you go about buying orange juice, or do you?
I actually don't. I would much prefer a whole orange. It's just, it's so much, you get so much more out of it. You get, you know, you get the fiber as well as the juice, and I save the peel. I actually freeze the peel and use it in cooking, and one orange can go a long way.
A long way. And with respect to that, you not only do you get more out of a single orange, but when you drink a glass of orange juice, you're using up a whole bunch more oranges, right?
That's right.
Right. So you're working on ways to legislate a community's right to know how food is produced. Does this come out of your research with respect to orange juice?
Yes. You know, you mentioned in the beginning that, you know, we wonder all these things about how you can pick an orange in Brazil and get it in a glass of juice in Alaska. And the problem really is that we don't wonder about this because we don't know about it. We take it for granted that we have a right to know what's in our food, the ingredients, but we know very little about how it's produced. And I'm working to increase the transparency of the food supply chain so that we know not only what's in our food, but also how it's produced, because we might make different decisions if we knew really what goes on behind the carton.
So, Alyssa Hamilton, you're asking Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola to tell us what they put in our orange juice? Are you think you're going to get away with that?
I'm going to try.
Up against Goliath, girl.
I'm only 5'1", too, so I've got a lot to take on.
I guess so. So take us back to Florida now. They're kind of getting their clocks cleaned with respect to competing with Brazil. They seem to be going back to the fresh juice world, don't they?
Yes, and that's really one of the best ways to support Florida growers. The Florida Department of Citrus came out with a program after the hurricanes in, I think it was 2006, where they would send whole oranges to supermarkets in the north for the supermarkets to juice in front of the consumers to provide a fresh squeezed juice. And the whole idea behind this program was to support, to keep the Florida growers on the land. So that's one of the best ways that not only is it more nutritious, does it taste better, but you're also supporting an industry, growers that really have, you know, been on the land for some of these growers.
Out of time, Alyssa. Alyssa Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us. The book, Fresh or Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. Give it a
Squeeze
look.
Squeeze your own.
Squeeze your own. Thank you very much, Alyssa. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us, folks.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.